Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in His house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8. The realm of God. Luke 8, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto Him of their substance. Jesus and the others mentioned the disciples as well, those whose lives had been changed and transformed by Jesus. Here they are making their way through cities and villages. The text says, throughout every city and village. This is an incredible time. An incredible time, an incredible working of ministry is taking place, the preaching of the true gospel in every city and village. And this showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Darby translation reads, and it came to pass afterwards that He went through the country, city by city and village by village, preaching and announcing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The Wycliffe Bible, and it was done afterward that Jesus made journey by cities and castles, preaching and evangelizing the realm of God. The ministry was pure. The ministry was precise. The ministry was powerful, and the ministry was pulling. Pure, precise, powerful, magnetizing ministry. And we know this because the very next verse, verse 4 says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city. Again, our other translations, and a great crowd coming together and those who were coming to Him out of each city. Forsooth, when full much company came together from cities and from cities hasted to Him. This coming to Jesus, this streaming to Jesus. It's obvious that the gospel exploits in these locations had such an impact on these people that they began coming out. They began pouring out of these cities, their cities, coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. We want more, Jesus. More preaching, more teaching. Tell us of the kingdom. We want to know more of this realm of God. This great gathering. Verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by parable. What would Jesus speak? What would Jesus speak to this streaming crowd? What would His message be? What would He deliver to this hasty crowd? These people come out of every city. Verse 4, the KJV spake by a parable. Wycliffe Bible, He said by a likeness or example. Parable, a comparison of one thing with another, likeness, similitude, an example by which a doctrine or precept is illustrated. Here's this crowd, this gathering, this streaming people, these streaming people now assembled, these hasting people now amassed. This is what they need. This is what they need. This is what they need to hear. The parable. The parable of the sower. This parable would be key and is key for this streaming crowd, this hasting crowd. For this parable lays out the foundation. This parable speaks directly and precisely concerning the right condition that will cause all that is heard and will be heard, the realm of God, to be rightly and righteously accepted, and that it would and will produce the lasting result intended. Let's pick up the text at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." This is what they need. This great gathering, this hasting people, this amassed people, this is what they need. In this gathering, this great gathering, four types that Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Jesus perceived in the streaming, in the hasting, in this gathering of much people, four groups. A sower and four types of ground. Four conditions. Four descriptions of people. The wayside, a rock, among thorns, good ground. The same message, the same preaching, the same teaching, the same commands and commandments, same wisdom, same kingdom truth, same realm of God, but different ground. This is what they need. They need to hear this message. They need this parable. It doesn't say that the seed was different. There may be times when the seed is different. The text says that the sower went out to sow his seed. So here he is. Here is a sower scattering seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell upon a rock. Some fell among thorns. And other fell on good ground. Now, Jesus was very clear, unmistakably clear. Jesus was very clear concerning this sowing, this scattering of seed. He was clear in telling what happens to the seed that falls on each type of ground. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And the end of verse 8, and when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He that hath ears to hear. I mean, it's so clear. The different types, the different conditions, so clear what happened to the seed. And so clear why what happened to the seed. Again, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Seed fell upon a rock. It sprung up and withered away because it lacked moisture. Seed fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked it. Seed fell on good ground. It sprang up and bare fruit and 100-fold. And so Jesus' disciples are with them. They're listening. This is the message. This is what they need. And so his disciples, they speak with him. When they hear him speak this parable, we read verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Well, verse 11 gives us the answer. Verse 11, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Clear as day. And now this explanation, verse 12. Those by the wayside, remember, four types of people. This amassed group, this gathering, this hasting people come out to hear Jesus. Jesus, we want more. We want to hear you. Teach us, Jesus. Realm of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14, and they among thorns, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Remember, this is Jesus talking. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, I wonder, how many in the great streaming gathering that day were those by the wayside? How many a rock? How many among thorns? How many good ground? Look at what is common in all four verses. They that hear, when they hear, when they have heard, having heard, they all heard. They all heard the word. Wayside. Just to nail it home today. They hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That is, made safe. Rock. They hear. They receive with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Among thorns. They hear. They go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Good ground. They hear. in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. The devil comes to all four types, four groups of people, four types of people. This amassed crowd coming to Jesus. The devil comes to all four types. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we know why the Lord comes. The Lord comes, has come, that we might have life and more abundantly. The devil comes, the sower goes out, the sower is sowing seed, and the devil's there. The devil shows up. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. These four types of people, these four groups of people, you know, time of temptation comes to all four types. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. The NIV reads, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. All four types. Wayside, a rock, among thorns, good ground. Guess what? Cares and riches and pleasures of life are before all types. And seek to choke. What does the Bible say? Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware lest covetousness, all covetousness, beware of it all. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Or you read a text like Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why would you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, was not dressed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Don't worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here it is. Are you ready? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Results are in. Wayside. Unbelieving. Unsaved. Not made safe. Results are in. Rock. Fall away. Results are in. Among thorns. No fruit to perfection. Results are in. Good ground. Bring forth fruit with patience. Well, what can we draw from this? What would Jesus teach us? What qualities? How would he have us? And how would he have us hear the word and receive the word? Church, people of God, when we hear the word, we must know that the devil comes and the wayside are easy pickings for him. Wherever the word of God is preached in power by the Holy Spirit, the enemy is there. Whenever the word of God is preached in power by the Holy Spirit, the enemy is there. The enemy comes when the word is preached. And there is a possibility that the word be trodden down and that the fowls of the air devour it. The devil coming, seeking to take away the word out of hearts, lest we should believe and be saved and so too believe whatever the particular word might be and be saved. Saved from many things. You say, saved from what? Saved from calamity, catastrophe, regret, heartache, confusion, consequence, waywardness, apathy, indifference, folly. You know, the devil comes. Guess what? The devil is not so concerned when scoundrel doctrine and error and falsehood is preached, so on. He's just like, let it produce. You say, it's impossible, I'm in church. We came to hear Jesus. I mean, what are you talking about? The devil's in the room? Like we come in here, it's all safe. But Jesus said, when the word is preached, when the word's sown, wherever it is, the devil comes. The devil doesn't want the good things of God to take root. He doesn't want believers taking the word, receiving it with a good and honest heart, and keeping it. He wants an impatient bunch of people. He doesn't want patient people that bring forth fruit with patience, that persevere and can handle the time of temptation and go forward and deal with the cares and the riches and the concerns of life. All the pure things of God. You know, is there a certain word or words that can't be heard by individuals in the church? In our day and age? Oh, we know that some will not hear the message of salvation. But what of words preached to the church body? The true words of God. Realm of God, are there any words that cannot be heard by us? Like, bring it down to the individual level. Any words that cannot be received into our hearts? We may hear the particular word more than once, but it just seems like each time it's trodden down and devoured by the fowls of the air. You know that word. When you hear that teaching, when you hear that doctrine, when you hear that revelation, when you hear that command of the Lord, when you hear that, when it's that seed, when it's that type of seed, that kind of seed, it just seems like every time you walk out of church and nothing. Well, like we crack the book, you know, we're reading during the week. We're taking in the Word of God, and we get to that particular passage that we've read, you know, perhaps year after year. And it's a living Word, right? It's a sowing taking place. But, I mean, for whatever reason, it just seems like each time we read it, it's trodden down and devoured by the fowls of the air. You know, it could be a hard word. A word of conviction. Newsflash, conviction is a good thing. If no one ever felt conviction, no one would have ever gotten saved. It could be a tender word of God's power to heal an area of life. It could be a challenging word calling us to a new depth or a higher height. It could be a word over us, our home, our sons and daughters, our church. It could be a word of caution, protection, a listening ear. They hear it. Ears hear it, but it's devoured immediately because it cannot and will not be received for whatever reason and reasonings. That enemy. And the enemy's birds, they want to eat the seed so that there will never be a harvest, so that there will never be breakthrough, so that there will never be freedom, so there will never be victory, so there will never be realm of God. Is it possible? Is it possible this could also speak to one or of one that knows the word or thinks they know the word, enough of the word, much of the word, that they become unteachable? You know, a kingdom know-it-all. And you come to church, you're like, there is nothing that God can say any further to me. I come into the house of the Lord, there's nothing. I'm perfect. Work done, work complete, thank God. When we hear the word, receive the word with joy and have root. When we hear the word, we must know that time of temptation will come. And time of temptation concerning the very seed, the very word we have received. When we hear the word and go forth out of this place and about life and so on, we must go forth aware and alert that there are thorns that seek to choke utterly, suffocate the word. Cares, speaks of anxieties, and riches, wealth, abundance, fullness, plenitude, and pleasures of this life, desires for pleasures, that no fruit is brought to perfection. I mean, it's amazing that Jesus said no fruit. It's almost startling. We are to be those that in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, church, even the good ground will face the devil. Even the good ground will face times of temptation. Even the good ground will face choking thorns. The good ground obviously receives the word in right manner. The way Jesus wants us to receive the word. The good ground has root. The good ground goes forth in right manner. The good ground is with patience. We must take heed how we hear. The seed falls from a higher place to a lower. Remember that. The seed falls from a higher place to a lower. To the lower. The Lord would have us look at the ground today. Us ground today. Our ground today. Are we the right type? It doesn't matter who we are or how long we've been at this. Are we the right type? And you know, in our lifetime, we can change. Positively or negatively. You know, one that was wayside, a rock among thorns, and all of a sudden, man, they're good ground. But it can also go the other way, where good ground, there was, you know, once so receptive, they sat under the preaching of the word, they opened their Bible, they were just drinking it in like, God, I'm so committed. But just life plays it out, life bleeds out, and guess what? All of a sudden, among thorns. No fruit brought to perfection. Then all of a sudden, a rock, and pretty soon, wayside. You are who you are today. We are who we are today. Are we the right type? And imagine a different type of ground based on the season. A different type of ground depending on the seed. A different type of ground depending on the message, the word. Isn't it true that some ground they just tackle, they just run after one message? Just one. One vein of truth. One sliver of doctrine. Last time I checked, only a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. The realm of God delivered to all four types, and you know, just such different outcomes. Guess what? Jesus is not surprised. And you say, well, that happened back then. It happened to Jesus. God in flesh, the Son of God, the perfect one, the sinless one. No preacher as anointed as Jesus. I can't even imagine the power in those meetings. The conviction that would flow. Now the seed would be sowed when he would speak. But guess what? Here comes the crowd, and Jesus says, this is what they need. This is what they need to hear. It's the most important thing. The parable of the sower. Really, Jesus? We came out of every city for this? Like we traveled for this? You know that this parable is so, so alive. Right now. This parable is alive today. All across the planet. Where the gospel is being preached, where people are evangelizing, where the gospel is being preached in churches, the pure gospel. It's happening all across the planet. This parable is alive today. It's living. It's alive. In church meetings all across the planet today, even in this city today, in the metro region, guess what's happening? People showed up to church. God let people show up to church. And guess what? The wayside showed up. The rock showed up. The among thorns showed up. And the good ground showed up. That's just the way it is. And it's the way it will be until the end. But there's hope. There's hope for all types of earth, all types of ground. I mean, throughout every city and village, preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, journey by cities and castles, preaching and evangelizing the realm of God. Much people gathered together, coming out of every city, a great crowd gathering together out of each city. Imagine if it all fell on good ground. Imagine if this holy seed, realm of God's seed, the pure word of God, the teachings of Jesus, all that produces realm of God, life and living, fell on good ground. The word kept and kept by the word fruit. You know what Jesus is really talking about? Jesus is really talking about the heart. Our hearts. The hearing and receptivity of our hearts. So I asked the question today, and it should be asked, what kind of heart is truly hearing the word? Wayside, rock, among thorns. Good ground. Lord, if it be anything but good, help us. This wayside, this rock, this among thorns. The Message paraphrase puts it in this manner. Wayside, or hear the road. The seed is the word of God. The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it from them so they won't believe and be saved. Rock, or hear the gravel. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad, and the moment there's trouble, it's gone. Among thorns, or hear weeds. And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes out of it as they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun. Good ground, or here, good earth. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word of God and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. You know, in such a critical time, a critical day, a critical hour, we need so desperately to be hearing in right manner, with hearts in right manner, his word received into good soil, good earth, with joy, and that the word be kept. Thy word I have hid in my heart, and guard thy heart. We're talking about a heart that is aware of the forces against it and against the word of God that we hear. The forces at play and at work against realm of God and belonging and remaining. You say, this is not my reality, but I'd say today, don't let the devil snatch it from you. Don't let the devil snatch it from you. Don't be one who hears with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. This is not fad. This is not another fad. Don't let the seed be crowded out. Oh, come on, let's all seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Defouled and birds eaten at the work of the devil, dried for it had no moisture, that is dampness, strangled by thorns. And then there's fell into good earth, down into good land. Let's have the worship team return today. If the word is not going down into good earth, the soil of our hearts, if the seed isn't springing up, having taken root, if the seed isn't flourishing, if the fruit isn't being kept, what type are we? You know, in this manner, we could judge ourselves, lest we be judged, right? We could look and we could say, yeah, wayside. Or we could be honest before God, because he knows whether we admit it or not. We could say, Lord, a rock. But you can change the stony heart. Or we're honest before the Lord and among thorns, God. We have to keep the word, and we have to keep it with patience. We have to have patience. That's what it says. An honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. God help us to have honest and good hearts, to hear the word and keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I ask today, how's the ground? How's the ground? Do you not believe in the power of transformation? You know, the wayside, that they can become good earth, that a rock can become good earth, that among thorns can become good earth, these heart types becoming the ground and soil the great sower desires. Lord Jesus, when we come to you from our places and our place, we want you, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. We want to hear your word. We want to hear your words. We want to be good ground. We want to be good earth, Jesus. Those of honest and good hearts and having heard the word, those who keep it and bring forth for your glory fruit with patience. I want to share with you the words of an old-time preacher. We're used to that in this house. He talks about the preacher of the gospel. He says the preacher of the gospel is like a sower. He does not make the seed. It is given him by his divine master. No man could create the smallest grain that ever grew upon the earth, much less the celestial seed of eternal life. The minister goes to his master in secret and asks him to teach him his gospel, and thus he fills his basket with the good seeds of the kingdom. He then goes forth in his master's name and scatters precious truth. If he knew where the best soil was to be found, perhaps he might limit himself to that which had been prepared by the plow of conviction. But not knowing men's hearts, it is his business to preach the gospel to every creature, to throw a handful on the hardened heart and another on the mind which is overgrown with the cares and pleasures of the world. He has to leave the seed in the care of the Lord who gave it to him. For he is not responsible for the harvest. He is only accountable for the care and industry with which he does his work. If no single ear should ever make glad the reaper, the sower will be rewarded by his master. If he had planted the right seed with careful hand. If it were not for this fact, with what despairing agony should we utter the cry of Isaiah, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Our duty is not measured by the character of our hearers, but by the command of our God. We are bound to preach the gospel, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. It is ours to sow beside all waters. Let men's hearts be what they may, the minister must preach the gospel to them. He must sow the seed on the rock as well as in the furrow, on the highway as well as in the plowed field. Let's stand today.